You're listening to Lace Up with your host, VJ Johnson II. Grab your tennis shoes, get your cleats, because it's time to lace up. What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Lace Up. I'm your host, VJ Johnson II, ready to give you the latest, hottest news and updates in the world of sports. I appreciate everybody joining the podcast right now and tuning in with me. We got a nice jam-packed show, a lot of great stuff going on in the sports world. But before we get into that, I just want to take the time to talk about this beautiful weather we've been having, people. I mean, springtime is right around the corner. We got daylight savings time coming up on the 14th. Excited about that. And let me just go over this forecast for next week. I'm going to tap into my inner weatherman, so just bear with me one second. So Monday, we have a high of 64, not a cloud in the sky, sunny. Tuesday, partially cloudy, 66 degrees. Wednesday, partially cloudy, 72. Thursday, 75. Friday, 79. Saturday, 79. And Sunday, 72 degrees. That is some beautiful weather, people. I mean, you have to be excited about that. I'm excited about it. It's a beautiful thing. Now, I know we can't get too ahead of ourselves down here in Georgia. We know how our weather is pretty bipolar from time to time. So, yet and still, regardless, I'm still excited. That weather's going to be beautiful. We're getting ready to have more daylight. So let's get hyped. Let's get excited about that. All right. I'm done with that. I'm done giving you the forecast. Let's jump into that sports talk, man. First and foremost, let's talk about and expand a little bit more on what's going on in Seattle right now with Russell Wilson and the Seahawks. So, since we've last been on air, the Seahawks have now gone from they were not entertaining the idea of trading Russell Wilson to now they're fielding calls for Russell Wilson. Yes, they are fielding calls for Russell Wilson, and they're also making calls, reportedly making calls to other teams about Russell Wilson as well. So, we got an interesting situation that's brewing in Seattle right now. So before we dive a little bit deeper into, you know, other destinations like we did last week, let's just talk about the fact of the matter in regards to Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson's relationship. Can his relationship be mended? When you look at this situation, it's really a sticky situation. So just going back to, this is dating back to at least last year, there's been some stuff that has been going on in this organization with Russell Wilson. So again, just to give you the rundown, the Seahawks have begun to field and make calls for Russell Wilson, as I've stated before. But it's funny because they say that they're not actively shopping him. But anytime you're fielding calls and you're making calls to other teams, that sounds like shopping to me. So, yes, they are shopping Russell Wilson right now. They have been reportedly at odds over the past years. Wilson actually reportedly stormed out of a meeting with the staff over his role and the team's offensive strategy. So, again, he's been frustrated with this Seahawks team, and his frustration is coming behind the offensive line. So him having to run around pretty much like a chicken with his head cut off, it really create majority of the time with his legs. And he desired to have more say in personnel decisions, which he has not had a lot of. So, yes, I would be frustrated as Russell Wilson as well. You know, when you're back there and you're giving everything you got at the quarterback position, you have to be protected. You know, they have to find a way to protect them, and they haven't done that. And on top of that, you don't allow him to have more of a say in personnel and in the offense. Yeah, if I'm Russell Wilson, I'm mad about that. Yes, I'm frustrated. And let's not mention the 47 sacks that he took last year, which is the third most in the NFL. That's unacceptable. You're talking about a guy who's the all-time passing leader for the Seahawks. He threw for 4,212 yards last year, which was ninth in the NFL. 40 touchdowns, which is tied for second. 13 interceptions, tied for 31st. and he had a 73.5 quarterback rating, or QBR is what we like to call it, which was eighth in the NFL. He's currently going to be, he's 32 years old, still has a lot of great football left. So, yeah, I'm interested. If I'm Russell Wilson, like I said before, I'm looking at other teams, looking at what markets I can go to, and he's already given us his list of teams with the Cowboys, the Saints, the Raiders, and the Bears. Yes, my Chicago Bears. I love it. I love it. And let's talk about why he likes Chicago so much. Because Chicago, I don't know if everybody's noticed this, but Chicago has really been emerging as somewhat as the front runner on Russell Wilson's list. And I mentioned this before about the opportunity for him to go into a market like Chicago with a fan base that loves their sports. They love the Bears. They love the Bulls. They love the Cubs. He likes Chicago not only for that, but also when it comes to the football side of it, he likes the emerging offensive line. So there were some struggles on the offensive line for the first half of the season. But those last, I want to say 6 weeks or so, they actually made some moves and improvements on the offensive line, which allowed Trubisky to be protected a lot better, which opened up the door for bigger plays. He was able to survey the field a lot better than him and Foles were in the first half of the year. He also likes the offensive-minded head coach in Matt Nagy. So his creativity on the offensive side, his ability to really create and allow the quarterback to do what he does. Well, that's, he has to have the quarterback to be able to be successful in the type of offense that he has. So we do know that with Mitchell Trubisky, he was successful initially back in 2018, but since they tried to kind of develop him more into a pocket guy, that didn't pan out too well. But with Russell Wilson, you have a guy that can come in, he can really take control of this offense and have more of a say in it, and he can really elevate it to the level that it's supposed to be. And again, I mentioned he's intrigued by the market in Chicago. The opportunity to go to a city and really be elevated. If he was able to, just think about if he was able to bring a Super Bowl to the Bears, he would be up there with Michael Jordan, Walter Payton, guys like that. I mean, he would really be up there on the Mount Rushmore sports in Chicago. And the Bears have been aggressive and persistent with trying to field offers for him to the Seahawks. So he likes that. I know his agent is talking to him. He's saying, hey, look, the Bears, they're aggressive. So, yeah, he's growing interest in this organization. He's really excited about the fact that they're interested in bringing him in. And with Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace, the general manager for the Chicago Bears, with them on the hot seat this year, with them having to really make a splash and do something to save their jobs, Russell Wilson would be the guy to do that. He really would. So they're looking to put everything on the table. Nothing, no player is off the table. Well, I'm pretty sure there are some players that they would want to try and keep if they could, but they're going to be as aggressive as possible when it comes to trying to land Russell Wilson. And I would too. I mean, why not? As I mentioned before, he has some great football left in him. He really does. He's proven. He's been to a Super Bowl. I mean, he's played in a couple Super Bowls, actually. Wasn't able to, unfortunately, was not able to win one of them against the Patriots on that last, you know, they decided to throw a slant instead of running it with Marshawn Lynch. Still crazy to me. But I just found it funny how the Seahawks are saying, yeah, we're not shopping Russell Wilson, but if you give us an offer we can't refuse, you can have him. they're starting to look into the future. You can see it. You really can see it. They're starting to say, you know what? I don't know if we can really mend this thing. Are they willing to allow him to have more of a say? Right now, it doesn't seem like any of that has changed. So let's just really pay attention to this thing over the course of the next couple of weeks of how this stuff starts to unfold. Because, again, we went from, let's look at the timeline. We went from we're not looking to trade him. We're not taking calls to just in a week. Now we're fielding the calls. We're not only fielding the calls. Now we're making calls back to other teams to see what we could get in return. The next step from that is Russell Wilson asking for a trade. Is that possible? Yes. Will it happen? It's very, very likely. It could happen. So pay attention, people. If he lands in Chicago, man, oh man, if he lands in Chicago, I don't even know how I'm going to act. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know how I'm going to act. I don't know. But I know one thing, I'm buying that jersey. as soon as it pops up on my phone, I can see it now. Seahawks have agreed to trade Russell Wilson to the Chicago Bears. I might drop my phone. I don't know where I'll be at that time when I see it, but I'll take off running. I'll be yelling. It'll be an exciting time for me and my fellow Bears fans. And last but not least, before I move on to my next topic, it's a reports out there that are saying that the Seahawks are potentially looking for 3 first rounders for Russ, which is that's worth it. I would give up 3 first rounders for Russell Wilson. Absolutely. In a heartbeat. So, if that's the asking price, and if you're Chicago, make it happen. So let's move on to our next topic. Let's look into the NFL. So we got free agency and stuff is really starting to emerge, and stuff is starting to circulate around the league about who's could potentially be franchise tagged, who could become a free agent. We've already seen a few names out there that have been, you know, now they currently are now free agents because they weren't re-signed with their organizations. I know Desmond Trufant is a name that just came up. Won't be returning to the Lions. Kyle Rudolph, tight end, former tight end of the Vikings. He won't be returning to Minnesota. There's other teams. I mean, other players. Excuse me, that are left to be cut. Other players that will not be returning. So here we are, and let's look at like the top NFL free agents that teams should keep their eyes on. So who are those top free agents or potential free agents? So all these guys on this list are not free agents yet. They could be tagged again, like I said before. So these are just my top 6 guys that teams around the league should be having their eyes on. So, and this is not any particular order of most important to least important, but I'm just running down the list of names that I think that people should pay attention to. So first we got Juju Smith-Schuster. So he did fall off a little in 2020. Production kind of, you know, it took a hit after he was pretty much the number one guy in Pittsburgh with Antonio Brown no longer being there. And, you know, he has to step up to be that number one receiver. He still hasn't proven that just yet. Do I think that he could be a number one receiver? Absolutely. I absolutely think he is wide receiver one potential. He was competing. They did have a lot of stuff going on in that offense. You know, they eventually got out the gate just swinging. I think Pittsburgh went 11-0 and then dropped like 3 or 4 in a row. And then ultimately got blown out in the playoffs. But Juju Smith-Schuster is a guy who He's still a playmaker, big playmaking ability. He's only going to be, I believe, 24 going into this upcoming season. I have my eyes on him. If I'm looking to add an extra piece and really bolster and electrify my offense, absolutely looking at Juju. Second, Shaq Barrett, edge rusher from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Now, again, he could be tagged, or they could re-sign him, obviously, to a new deal. So let's just look at Shaq Barrett. He ranked among the top 25 players at his position in the past 2 years. He has a 15.6% pressure rate, which ranks seventh among 131 edge defenders who rushed the quarterback at least 200 times since 2019. That's production, people. Shaq Barrett is a guy that definitely jumps off the page when you're looking at the list of potential free agents, especially if you're looking to add a piece on your defense, on the edge, one of the most important parts of the defense. Because we all know if you can't get that pressure on the quarterback, there's nothing that you can do. You have to be able to get pressure on the edge, up the middle, by any means necessary. If not, again, your defense will get picked apart. Another guy, Lavonte David, linebacker from Tampa Bay. Lavonte David earned a Pro Football Focus coverage grade above 83 four times in his 9-year career. He can shut down those quick, easy throws. He's aggressive and he's physical. Another guy, again, keep your eyes on him. And I know it seems like I'm staying in Tampa Bay, but they just have some pieces there. And I got my third person from Tampa Bay, Chris Godwin, out of the slot. We're talking about receivers, strong, solid wide receiver, can still playmaking ability. Really emerged and came along the past couple of years as that guy, one of the go-to guys, one of the reliable guys that you can count on to make a play. He did post his highest grade. He posted the highest grade among wide receivers in 2019 at 90.7. Again, Chris Godwin is definitely an intriguing option when you look at the slot wide receiver position. Another important part of offensive scheme. You could do so many things out of the slot. And I think Godwin, with his playmaking ability and his talent, he can definitely be an asset to any offense. Next up, Allen Robinson. So Allen Robinson is now in a contract dilemma with the Chicago Bears. So they have an option to tag him or franchise tag him. They could franchise tag him and trade him. I don't know if that would be maybe something that they would consider doing, but they've come out and said, the general manager, Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy, they came out in their press conference just a few days ago, said, hey, Allen Robinson knows how much we love him, how much we appreciate everything he's doing, so and that he's done for the organization. So I do expect them to find a way to get an extension done. You don't want to get into a situation where you franchise tag him and he wants to play under the tag, because that's just going to create more tension. So they should definitely find a way to extend him, really come to a common ground and get that done. Because let's just look at what he's done for him. I mean, he's posted 81.9 wide receiver grade over the past three seasons. He plays outside, but he does have the ability to play in the slot if you need him. And he's ranked among the top, at least top five in wide receiver, different wide receiver categories, targets, contested catches. Allen Robinson is really, he's been doing his thing. And this is coming off an injury, coming out of Jacksonville and coming back. Now, he has not ruled out the possibility of going back to Jacksonville and potentially partnering up with and pairing up with a Trevor Lawrence, who's they are expected to take with the number one overall pick, excuse me. He did not rule out that possibility. He did say that playing under the franchise tag was the last thing on his list that he would like to do, which is understandable. So, it's interesting. Gotta watch that. Next, and last but not least, Aaron Jones, running back from the Green Bay Packers. So Aaron Jones, let's just talk about what Aaron Jones has done. He's had 35 touchdowns in the last 34 games. He has 2,188 rushing yards over the past two seasons, which is fifth among running backs. He averages 5 yards per carry, which is third among running backs. And he's had 25 regular season rushing touchdowns, which is also third among running backs. Aaron Jones is a guy, physical running back, speed, power. A guy that you definitely want to have on your team. Now, the Miami Dolphins are a team that has emerged as a potential landing spot for Aaron Jones. Teams definitely need to be on the phone with his agent if he does indeed become a free agent. If they let him walk, which I would be surprised. I know that they're going with the young guy Dylan, and then you got Jamal Williams in Green Bay. But if they let Aaron Jones walk, I'm on the phone with his agent immediately. This guy, he could do it all. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. He can run between the tackles. He can run outside. He could pass block. The physicality is there. So definitely watch where Aaron Jones ends up landing. Let's move along, and we're going to talk NBA right now. Let's talk NBA. So there's been stuff circulating around the league in regards to players that have been calling out the NBA officiating. So Donovan Mitchell, Montrezl Harrell, Rudy Gobert are among quite a few players who have called out NBA officiating. So the question here is there a serious problem around the league in regards to the NBA officiating? Absolutely. I absolutely 100% agree. I do think that there's a serious problem with this officiating that's going on around the league in the NBA. No, I do not blame officials, you know, saying, oh, the refs were the ones that blew this game. I don't like to blame an entire game on referees, because we have to realize there are certain situations that teams could have prevented themselves from being in. Maybe they gave up a big lead. Maybe they got in foul trouble early on in the game, whatever it may be. There are certain things that teams could and players could do differently, maybe not to not put themselves in positions to have the referees decide the game. But that does happen. But there's still a problem. That does not erase the issue at hand that we have. So let's just look at what's recently been happening. So Devin Booker was ejected against the Lakers after bouncing the ball to a referee. After he bounced the ball to the referee and he got ejected. You don't eject Devin Booker for something like that. That's soft. That is completely soft. You ejected him out of a game like that, nationally televised game, and you eject him because he bounced the ball at you. And then let's look at this as well. The referee who ejected him was not even the referee that he bounced the ball to. So why is he getting ejected? Why? You feel like he bounced the ball too hard on the court? Like, come on, man. That's ridiculous. There's no excuse for ejecting Devin Booker for something like that. That is absolutely ridiculous. I don't care what anybody says. That is wrong on all levels. Then you had Donovan Mitchell, who was hit with two techs in the final minute against the 76ers the other night, and he was ejected after talking to the refs. He's frustrated. He's voicing his opinion to the refs. And then they eject. Two techs in the final minute of a game like that, that's coming down to the wire. And then Montrezl Harrell got a tech after yelling and one. He was assessed a technical foul after he yelled and one. I mean, what else? What do you expect these players to do? What do you expect them to do? They're softening. This NBA officiating is softening the game. They have made the NBA soft in regards to the way that it's played. And on top of that, Donovan Mitchell was actually fined $25,000 and Rudy Gobert was fined $20,000 after they were very critical in the post game. Of course, you know that was going to happen. That usually 9 times out of 10 is going to happen when you're criticizing officiating after the game to the media. They're going to hit you with a fine. But I'm pretty sure I heard the post game. Donovan Mitchell didn't care. He knew he was going to get fined. He didn't care about that. He did not care at all. He was there to tell him how ridiculous it was. And he was right. He was 100% right. I would have did the same thing. Because there's an issue that needs to be addressed. Because here's my problem with this. This is what I like to call, what's going on right now in the NBA, I like to call this selective officiating. That's what this is called. Selective officiating. You heard of selective hearing before. I know you all have heard of selective hearing. That's when you hear what you want to hear. Selective officiating, I'm going to give you my definition. You make calls that you want to make. There's no consistency. You have to develop some type of consistency if you're going to make these types of calls. Call it across the board. Point blank, period. If LeBron yells at the refs and confronts them every game. He literally yells and confronts referees all game, every game. Does he get technical fouls? No. I get it. He's the face of the league. I get that. But I'm pretty sure at some point, one of these referees, some of these same referees that give these texts to guys like Dame and Devin Booker and Draymond Green. Let's not talk about Draymond yells at the ref. Oh, he's getting teched. They're teeing him up every time. But I watch LeBron, and again, I don't have a problem with LeBron James. I don't hate LeBron James. But LeBron cries and he whines to the referees the entire basketball game, every game. And we all know it. We all see it. You cannot deny it. There is no denying that. At all. If you don't believe me, pull up the tape. Go YouTube LeBron crying to the refs or something. Whatever you have to do, go pull it up. I guarantee you there's a 45-minute video out there about all the times that he's ran up to the referees, yelled, caught a temper tantrum because he felt like he got fouled or he hit somebody in the wrist and he felt like he didn't foul them. That's ridiculous. At what point are we going to come to the realization that, okay, we're clearly not doing this the right way? They need to have a meeting. This is what needs to happen. They need to have a meeting with the league. They need to sit down and reevaluate the way that they're doing things. That's what needs to happen. There needs to be some reevaluating. I don't know if they got to sit at a round table. They need to get on. We need to social distance right now. So they can get on Zoom. They can get on Zoom, Microsoft Teams, whatever it is that they need to do. Whatever it is. But some type of conversation needs to be had. Because we cannot continue to sit here and watch mediocrity at the officiating level. Eventually, that's going to drive fans away from wanting to watch the game. There's a lot of people out here that don't even like to watch the NBA anymore like they did in the past years. You want to know why? Because they already know what's going to happen. It's predictable. The referees are going to call the fouls for who they want to call the fouls for. And they're going to be more lenient on whoever they want to be more lenient to. I get it. Again, the stars are out there. You got the superstars. Yes, sometimes they're going to get the benefit of the doubt. Majority of the time, they probably will. But at the very least, you need to be able to, it still needs to be some type of consistency. I'm not saying that you got to give LeBron a tech every time he comes in and yells at the refs. But if you want to make a statement, if you want to show some type of consistency, yeah, hit him with a tech every now. Hit him with one. Let us know something that y'all are trying to at least be consistent. Because I'm telling you right now, that's the way that you start to lose your audience that way. And we all know what happens with the NBA is a business. Any of these professional leagues, they're all businesses. When they start to see that revenue drop, when they start to see the viewership drop, now they're scrambling trying to make changes. NBA officiating needs to be changed. Point blank, period. Let's move on to our next topic. Let's stay in the NBA right now. So NBA All-Star Weekend is officially here down in Atlanta. I know it's a lot of people traveling down here. I'm going to say a prayer. We're still in the pandemic, people. Still need to be wearing a mask. Still need to be social distancing, washing your hands, sanitizing. Because if not, Corona is going to be doing somersaults and backflips in those clubs, at those bars. They call them super spreader events. As you know, people, for whatever reason, they think that the pandemic is over. So, be safe. Please be safe. But like I said, let's jump back into it. We got the three-point contest, the dunk contest coming up, all that great stuff. Excited to see both of these events. Now, I know in the past, recently they did say that the NBA did say that they weren't going to have an All-Star weekend, but they eventually changed their mind, which was it was shocking to, you know, I was surprised because I knew that they said that they weren't going to have it. And I know the players were pretty pissed off about that. Again, LeBron was one of the guys that came out and said he was not interested in this at all. He was not, he had no interest in wanting to be a part of it at all. But here we are. It looks like his attitude has changed a little bit in regards to that. Saw him smiling and laughing with Kevin Durant when they were picking their teams for the All-Star game on Sunday, which LeBron's team is pretty stacked. Pretty stacked. I want to say, yeah, he took Giannis with the first pick. He has Jokic, Steph, and he has Luka. Giannis got, and it was funny because Giannis actually found out he was the number one pick. He found out who the star five was. He said, "Oh, it's over, guys. It's over." So hey, I'm actually excited to see this, man. And they're still going to do the same kind of feel that they did last year in regards to with Kobe, with the rules that they did, which that was one of the most exciting All-Star games that we've all seen. It was intense. And of course, the money will be donated to charity on both sides. So let's look at the three-point contest participants and the slam dunk contest participants. And I'm going to give you guys who I predict is going to win both of these contests. So let's look at the three-point contest first. So the participants, you have Chef Curry, a.k.a. Steph Curry, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Devin Booker, Zach LaVine, and Donovan Mitchell. So, looking at this list, this is going to be a nice competition. But for the purpose of making a prediction, my final two that are going to be in the finals in the 3-point contest, I'm going to go with Steph, and I'm going to go with Zach LaVine. And to win it, I'm going to pull, of course, you know, I rock with Steph any day of the week. But I got to pull from my guy, Zach LaVine, from the Chicago Bulls. Yes, I'm a Bulls fan, too. I'm a Chicago guy, if you didn't already know. As much as I talk about the Bears or get excited about them, I'm a rock with my boy, Zach LaVine, from the Bulls. Now, you may call me crazy about that, but let's look at Curry and Zach LaVine when it comes to three-point shooting. So Curry's 41% from three from the year, and he makes about five threes a game. Zach LaVine is shooting 43% from three, and he makes about 3.5 to 4 threes a game. Both of these guys are in the top five when it comes to three-point shooting in the NBA. So Curry is currently at number two, and Zach LaVine is behind him at number five. So, is it unrealistic for that to happen? No, it's not. Once Curry is on, he's on. And we all know how Curry can cook up. Chef Curry is, when he starts cooking, we might as well get ready for the feast. It's an entire feast. He could cook up a feast for thousands. That's how good, that's how well he could cook from the 3-point line. But Zach LaVine is a guy that can get, when he gets rolling, he can roll too. When he starts feeling it, he can hit too. So again, Steph and LaVine, final two. I'm rocking with Zach LaVine. But I would, obviously, either one of these guys, I wouldn't be shocked if Steph won this thing. I would not be shocked if Steph won at all. But got to pull for my guy again. Make it happen. Looking at the slam dunk contest. So our participants for the slam dunk contest, you got Anfernee Simmons from the Blazers. You got Cassius Stanley from the Pacers. And you have Obi Toppin from the Knicks. So, if I had to pick one of these guys for this, to win this, I'm going to go with Obi Toppin. Obi Toppin was a guy coming out of Dayton. I mean, he was throwing it down. I mean, he was throwing down some vicious dunks in the open court. I do think that Obi Toppin is a guy, I don't know, you know, how creative he can get, because that's what the slam dunk contest is about, the creativity. So a lot of people start to misconstrue that. You see somebody throwing down a dunk, oh my God, he should have won. But remember, it's about the creativity. Now, Dwayne Wade really screwed us up that last time, because he was wrong. We all knew that dunk was a 10. But new year, let's move on. But again, it's about the creativity. So which one of these guys can really get, can be the most creative, can really stand out and really shock the crowd? Well, shock the judges. Because I think they're still going to have, they're going to have a little, I believe they're going to allow some fans, if I'm not mistaken, inside of the arena. But yeah, I'm gonna rock with Obi Toppin. I'm rocking with Obi Toppin for this one. And moving on, let's move on to our next topic and our last topic. Let's just review the current AP poll. So I'm just gonna give you the top 10 in the AP poll with college basketball and the projected number 1, 2, 3, and 4 seeds for March Madness. So again, March Madness is approaching. We got the conference tournaments that are going to be coming up. I want to say this upcoming weekend. Well, not this weekend coming right now, but the following weekend after this, the following weekend. I want to say that's when those conference tournaments are going to be starting. They would actually do start kind of throughout the week, depending on the conference. So we will start. Let's just say conference tournaments next week are going to be starting. And so far with the AP poll, again, I'm only going to give you the top 10. I'm not going to go through the whole 25. We have Gonzaga at 1, Michigan at 2, Baylor at 3, Illinois 4, Iowa 5, West Virginia 6, Ohio State 7, Bama 8, Houston 9, and Villanova at 10. Now, Michigan was blown out against Illinois. I mean, a 20-plus point blowout. They were blown out on their home court by Illinois. West Virginia also took a loss to Baylor in a, man, that was a crazy game. Went to overtime, down to the wire, but they couldn't hold on. Baylor was able to get the win against West Virginia on the road. And Ohio State lost to Michigan State. So we had three losses in the top 10 this past week. Didn't see any shift as of yet with those rankings. I know they update them periodically. I want to say they'll probably have another update after tomorrow. So Sunday we'll probably get another updated AP poll ranking for the top 25. But let's just look at the projected, again, seeds one through four. So our projected number one seeds are going to be Gonzaga, Michigan, Baylor, and Illinois currently. Projected two seeds, Ohio State and Roll Tide, Alabama. Yes, Alabama is a number two seed. Iowa and Houston. Projected three seeds, West Virginia, Villanova, Kansas, and Florida State. And our projected number four seeds are Arkansas, Virginia, Oklahoma State, and Texas. So again, not that far away from Selection Sunday for the March Madness tournament. Again, I mentioned before, man, this is an exciting time. I am getting geeked up and amped about being able to fill out a bracket for the tournament this year. Again, if you haven't done a bracket before, definitely think about getting into it, man. It's fun. Get a group of friends. Maybe make a friendly bet. It doesn't have to be money. Whatever you decide to do, just make sure you become involved with March Madness. It's an exciting time, and it's also a stressful time. So if you hadn't done it before, prepare yourself. I'm telling you, it could be stressful, but it could also be very enjoyable. It's all about the madness at the end of the day. It is all about the madness. But hey, that's all I have for y'all. I appreciate everybody again tuning in with me for another episode. This is episode number four. Moving on up for the Lace Up Podcast. I'll be coming to you next week with episode five. So keep rocking with me. I'll be back to give you some more sports talk on Lace Up. Peace. Be blessed.